What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. We serve a mighty God. Amen. So nice to see all of you. Praise God. I was reading the other day about a group of golfers who were playing on the golf course, and they were approaching the fourth hole on the golf course. Suddenly, the sky turned ominous, and it began to rain amid claps of thunder. Suddenly, they rushed to the shelter of a gazebo that was near a metal fence. And as the storm grew in intensity, a bolt of lightning hit the long fence and lit it up as a neon, like a neon sign. It was a while before any of them could speak. Then one player turned to the others and said, "You know the four I had on the first hole was actually a seven." You'll get it. Friends, we all face the storms. Isn't that true? We all face storms. No one will go through life without experiencing a storm. In fact, during most of our lives, we will endure more than one storm. Each storm will threaten our entire being, the state of our soul. The storms take many different forms and affect our lives in many different ways. All storms contain some common elements, though. Have you noticed? They usually come all of a sudden. And they take us by surprise. They fill our hearts with fear. They test our faith. And yet, friends, God wants us to trust him through the storm. God wants us to let him have control of it. God hopes that in the storm, it will cause us to cry out to Jesus Christ for help. Friends, some of us know that some of the storms of life which have invaded our lives or the life of someone else can be, for example, the storm of illness, sudden or prolonged, or the storm of death, the death of a loved one, the storm of rejection, divorce or separation or abandonment, the storm of unjust criticism, the storm of emotional trauma, whether it's hatred against you, bitterness, resentment, or anger, the storm of physical loss, whether it is the loss of a home, the loss of a job, the loss of money, the loss of security, and then there's the storm of an accident which can change the course of your life in an instant. Isn't that true? Have you been there? The one thing that I've discovered, friends, through time and experience is this. Being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, does not exempt you from the trials of life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that life is a bed of roses. That storms come, trials come, tribulations come our way. And they come suddenly and unexpectedly. Jesus, in fact, told us in the word that we will go through trials and tribulations. Storms are part of life. The right question is not whether they will come or when they will come, but the right question is, how are we going to respond through the storms? Paul faced a life-threatening storm. I just want to read about it. It's on the screen. We're looking at Acts chapter 27. And let's just read a few verses from there, starting with verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after that, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught, they could not head into the wind. We let her dry. We just, whatever, the wind blew us this way or that way, whatever. And running under the shelter of an island called Clouder, we secured the skiff. That's the little boat that's on the ship. With difficulty. We read about one of the many storms that Paul experienced during his life as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is just one of them. But there's more. Let's look at some of them. And you can just see in this little passage that Paul wrote some of the storms that came into his life. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 27. Paul tells us about other storms. He said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I often think, if I'm going to be beaten up for being a Christian, which is a storm that came suddenly on my life, will I continue? Yeah, he's Paul. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, just floating, waiting to be rescued, just floating in the ocean for 3 days, for a night and a day. He said, in journeys often, in perils, perils means danger, in danger of water, in danger of robbers, in danger of my own countrymen, in danger of the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Do you see how many storms are just there? How many of us would have given up if we went through half of what Paul went through? Friends, like Paul, the point is there's no guarantee that our lives will be storm-free. Do you understand that, friends? As Christians, I am encouraging you. Let me give you some background to our passage. We find Paul on the way to Rome to appear before Caesar, to stand trial, and where he would eventually be put to death. He'll be sentenced to death and he will die there in Rome. The trip by sea started off well enough. Their intentions was to hug the coastline, and head from island to island until they reach Rome, Italy. But then the winds changed. They became harder. They blew harder. They became harsher. The waves started to swell and they found themselves in a storm. Isn't it amazing about life? We can be going around, we can be going smoothly, minding our own business, as it were. Things can be well enough. Then a storm hits us. Isn't that true? And we didn't even see it coming. These brave soldiers were in a storm that seemed to be overwhelming. Death was imminent. In an effort to save the ships and their own lives, they tried everything they knew and had learned over the years. But Paul tells us he learned three things. And we can learn also. The first thing is this, friends. When you are in a storm, you cannot depend on human wisdom. You can't depend on it. Human wisdom. Let's look at our passage again. Verse 17 says, when they had taken it on board, that's the skiff, the little boat, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, blown around by the wind, the next day they lightened the ship. This is what we learned, guys, eh? They lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands, trying to fix this problem. This is how we learned it at school. These were highly skilled sailors, friends, highly skilled sailors who knew what they were supposed to do whenever they faced a storm. And they did exactly what they were trained to do. But look how it all ended up. Verse 20 says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, in other words, there's no little sea breeze. It was just hurricane kind of winds. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. It's just a matter of time before we die, guys. Friends, as a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the most difficult things that we do when we go through a storm is to try and figure it out by ourselves. We're going to do it this way. Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. Okay? Because there always seems to be, I'll sort it out, don't worry. You may feel like you need to handle your financial storms the way your accountant or your family advises you and file for bankruptcy. You may feel you need to handle your marital storms like your neighbor did and file for divorce. You may feel like you need to handle the storms at your job like your friends do and just quit. We try and try to figure things out on our own. We say to ourselves, hey, wait now. If I do this or that, my problems will disappear. Is that true, friends? Proverbs, we spend 4 weeks on a Wednesday night. See what happened when you miss out on a Wednesday night? We spoke about this verse for 4 weeks. Right. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. 1, 2. Lean not on your own understanding. 3. In all your ways, acknowledge him. 4. And he will direct your paths. Do you see that, friends? If you try to survive the storms of life based on human wisdom, you will only see human results. As I read this text, I became aware that Paul had anchors that steadied him during the storm he faced. Even though the ship was shaken and battered, Paul was able to make it because of his faith and trust in God. Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, this hope, in other words, this confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What is it? Faith and trust in God. This hope is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Did you put it up there? Yeah, thank you. Friends, I come to the second point. When you are in a storm, first point said, you cannot depend on human wisdom. The second point is, when you are in a storm, you can depend on godly wisdom. Amen? Let's look at the scripture, verse 21 to 25 of our text. It says, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, all these men are panicking. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Don't panic, guys. None of you are going to die. For there stood by me this night an angel of God. Whenever we come across this angel of God phrase, it's identified with God himself, or it is, friends, synonymous with the presence of God. There stood with me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men. For I believe God. What did he say? I believe God. I trust in God. Do you see that, friends? I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Friends, Paul found that even in the midst of the raging storm, he was not alone. He was not alone, friends. The Lord had come to him and ministered peace into his heart. These verses are not on the screen, but I just want to quote them. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Psalm 23, verse 4, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Do you see that, friends? Listen, this sermon, you know, it might be like, okay, whatever. But I tell you what, you're going to go through a storm. I want you to remember this, friends. You say, hey, life is honky-dory now, Keith. Everything is smooth sailing, man. Cool. But remember what we're talking about today, friends. Your storm is coming. Some of us are in the middle of it. We too can enjoy the manifest presence of the Lord as Paul did. And even when you cannot see him, he is still there. Amen. Watching and leading and protecting us. You know, Dr. Tony Campolo, I love this guy. He's famous for his sermon on, it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. You know that one? I like Tony Campolo, Ellen and I went to go and he ministered there in Banff many years ago. Tony Campolo says that when he was a boy growing up in a congested and bustling city, his mother arranged for a teenage girl who lived nearby to walk with him, to walk home with him at the end of the day. And she would pay this teenage girl a nickel every day. Now, back in those days, it was a lot of money, right? Every time you walk home with little Tony, you're going to get a nickel. But Tony rebelled when he got to the second grade. You know, I'm all grown up now, right? And he told his mother, wait now, I'll walk myself to school. And you can only give me a nickel. If you give me a nickel once a week, I'll promise to be extra careful. You can keep the other 20 cents and we'll be better off, he said. And after a period of pleading and begging with his mother, little Tony finally got his way. For the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth to school. It was an 8-block walk and many streets to cross, but he was careful and he didn't talk to strangers or get distracted along the way. Many, many years later at a family party, Tony bragged about his independence and reminded his family of how he had taken care of himself as a boy. His mother laughed and added the rest of the story. Did you really think you were alone? She asked. Every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. When you got out of school at 3:30 in the afternoon, I was there. I always kept myself hidden, but I was there and I followed you all the way home. I just wanted to be there for you in case you needed me. Paul said, I believe you. I believe God. When God said he's with me, even in the storm, I believe him. I believe God. He knew God was with him and everything was going to be all right. This confidence can be yours and mine too, friends, when we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can say like the hymnist, perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. See that when you have that relationship, friends? Paul wasn't a sailor. He didn't pretend to say, okay, guys, no, don't forget to do that. No, he wasn't a sailor. And he didn't know much about what to do when the ship was in the middle of a storm. But Paul knew Jesus Christ. Amen? He knew God. And he knew exactly what to do when life is in the middle of a storm. He listened to God. He believed in God. And he trusted God. James, it's not on your screen. I wonder if I should quote this, but okay. James 3, verse 14 to 17, it's not on your screen. Wisdom that comes from below, that's man, is earthly, sensual, demonic, filled with envy, jealousy, and produces confusion, and every evil thing will be present, period. But, comma, wisdom from God, from above, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to heal, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see the difference, friends? What you must know is that God, friends, will never mislead you. The wisdom that comes from God can be trusted at all times. Thirdly, when you are in a storm, you need to drop some anchors. You cannot depend on human wisdom. You can depend on godly wisdom, but you must drop some anchors. Verse 29 says, then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. These sailors dropped four anchors to stabilize the ship so that they could survive this terrible storm. They had tried everything else, and their last resort was to try and stabilize the ship and weather the storm. Friends, let me say that I believe there are four anchors. Now listen, I believe there are four anchors that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to have in our lives if we desire to weather the storms that will come. The first anchor is the anchor of prayer. Amen. Whenever the storm comes your way, don't let prayer be the last thing you do. Pray before you try to do anything else. You know what God said in Jeremiah 33, verse 3? He said, let's see it. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I have a sermon that I want to share about this verse, friends. You know, the one day Helen was telling me, she got a text from a friend who's in the middle of one of the fierce storms in human life. And I was so encouraged when the friend said, let's pray, Helen. I'm in the storm. Let's pray. I was so blessed by that. Secondly, the anchor of fellowship. Anchor of fellowship. You see, so often, friends, Christians make the mistake of pulling away. Christians make the mistake of pulling away from their church whenever they are going through the storm. Hey, we're going through a storm, I'm not going to church. And you know what? Satan knows, friends, that if he can separate you from the family of God, then you're an easy target for him. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. That's the NIV there. But let me just tell you how the Living Bible puts it. Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Friends, we've got to continue to meet together and build each other up in the most holy faith. Do you agree with that, friend? You stay away, I'm not going. Well, you're an easy target, man, for Satan. He's got you where he wants you. The third anchor is the anchor of faithfulness. Be faithful, friends. Another tragic decision that some Christians make is they stop being faithful to what God has called them to do. They withdraw from their commitments. They neglect their ministry that God has called them to do. Have you noticed that when a person is going through a storm, the first thing they do is put what they were doing in the church. I'm no more a Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to do this anymore. But God called you to do that. No. Listen what Corinthians 15, verse 58 says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is not the time to quit. Throw down an anchor of faithfulness and say, be that as it may, I am grounded in the Lord. I am faithful in what God has called me to do. There's a song that says, this is not the time for giving up. It's a time for being strong. The last anchor is the anchor of hope. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Isn't that something? Have hope, man. The contemporary English version says it nicely. As long as we are alive, we still have hope. Just as a live dog is better than a dead lion. Keep hope alive, friends. Keep hope alive. The hymn writer, I love the hymns. The hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less, come on, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You see that, friends? The same anchors that kept Paul steady in the stormy seas of life are available to you and me during our stormy seas of life. Now the whole text ends with these words, verse 44. Listen, now the whole text ends. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Amen. Another verse that we mentioned, I compare these two verses. Verse 20 is not, don't know where to find it. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. That's because that's human wisdom. See, we are sailors. We are trained, man. We are journeymen. Okay? We know how to sail, man. We throw this off, throw that off, throw this, throw. No, no, wait now. Paul says, wait. God is with us. None of you are going to die. And verse 44 says, when they all escaped safely to land. Friends, God is sovereign. God is in control of your situation. God is strong and mighty, and he can do more than we can ask or think. Only the power of God is strong enough, friends, to keep you in the midst of the storm. Nothing else. No one else is strong enough, friends. If you are in a storm, listen, friends, if you are in a storm, hold on to the strong power of God, who can calm the winds and the waves. Years ago, a military officer and his wife were aboard a ship that was caught in the raging ocean storm. It's like Helen and I, and our family, going from the Hook of Holland to England. Man, those did the North Sea. Crazy. 1 minute we down there, the waves are up there. The next minute we look, there's a wave down there. I can tell you something. The raging storm is not a joke. So here is this military officer and his wife on board a ship that's caught in the ocean storm, seeing the frantic look in her eyes. The man tried unsuccessfully to allay her fears. Suddenly she grasped his sleeve and cried, "How can you be so calm?" He stepped back a few feet. He drew out his sword. He pointed it at her heart and said, "Are you afraid of this?" Without hesitation, she answered, "Of course not." Why not?" he inquired. "Because the sword is in your hand," she said, "and you love me more too much to hurt me." To this he replied, "I know the one who holds the wind and the waters in the hollow of his hands. Amen. And he will surely care for us." Helen sings a song, "I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind." Friends, with regard to your storm, God is able to work it out for you. He will get you through your storm. He will get you through your storm, friend, and land you safely beyond it. It may look like your boat is going to sink. It may look like the storms of life is going to prevail. But when the waves have all settled down, and the winds have ceased their blowing, when the rains have stopped, when the storm clouds have moved off the horizon, you will see that God was in control all the time. God was in control all along. I can promise you this. No storm in this life will be able to blow you off course if you're holding onto the strong anchor of God's power. Amen. We sing a hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Let's go through a few verses. Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Second, Jeremiah 32:17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee." Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us." Friends, listen. Take courage in the sovereignty of God. Take courage this morning from the fact that in the midst of the storm, God is still on his throne. God is still sovereign. Take comfort in the presence of God. God has not abandoned us just because we're going through a tough time. God has not removed he is not removed from our pain. That God is right with us there in the storm. In Isaiah 43 verse 2 it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." 41 verse 10, Isaiah 41 verse 10. "So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. Friend, God is with you. And where the Spirit of God is and the presence of God is, there is freedom and peace. Take hope in the purpose of God. God has a plan and purpose for your life. I said to Helen, I want to share in the summertime about God, the purpose-driven life. And talk about that in the summer. No storm of life is going to change God's purpose for you. Sometimes that purpose is known to us, as in this case, but sometimes we will never know God's purpose in the storm this side of heaven. We do know, friends, that one of the purposes always is for his glory. And in the midst of the storm, he shines through as the glorious one. Let's just go to start to finish now. James 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And lastly, take strength in the promises of God. You know, I'm just going to quote a verse. God is not a man that he should lie. What he said he will do, what he has promised, he'll make it good. Okay? The verse that I want to read here in our text, therefore take courage, men. Take heart, another version says. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. Faith is a choice, friends. You can believe or not believe. But I want to encourage you to choose to believe. Amen. Choose to believe that God is sovereign and this storm is not beyond his control. Choose to believe that God is present in the storm. Choose to believe that God will work this together for our good and his purpose, friends. Last verse. This is my favorite verse. New Living Translation. Disaster strikes like a cyclone. And the wicked are whirled about the way. But the good man has a strong anchor. Are you anchored in the storm? If so, you need to remember you cannot depend on human wisdom. You can depend on godly wisdom, and you need to drop some anchors, the anchor of prayer and fellowship and faithfulness and hope. Amen. Praise the Lord.